So Jesus is driven by the Holy Spirit. Those the words are very interesting. Jesus has been baptized by John in the Jordan. He does not need baptism, but he does this for the sake of humanity, sanctifying the waters, sanctifying the earth. And the Spirit, which he's now filled again with the Holy Spirit, just descended on him like a dove, drives him out into the Judean wilderness, which is not that far from where John was baptizing. John is baptizing somewhere on the Jordan River near the Dead Sea. And the Judean wilderness is an area between Jerusalem and Jericho, off a little bit, I believe, north of there. I've seen this. And it's very, very bleak. Many of you have been to Newberry Volcanic National Monument in eastern Oregon. It's a little bit like that, but not as colorful. And there's hardly a plant. It just looks like Mars. And there's lots of hills and no place to hide. And the Spirit, apparently Jesus was there 40 days and 40 nights. That's Bible talk for a long time. When people read that meant he was there a very long time. It's not always an exact 40 days. That's their way of saying he was there to fulfill the whole time. Just like Noah, 40 days. The word number 40, a long time. And would you know it, he's hungry. That's not an accident that this is put in the first week of Lent, because we too are on a 40 days journey. And if we're listening, the Spirit is going to drive us into the wilderness. That's a voluntary thing, isn't it? We don't have to go. We can say, no, Lord, I've had enough crosses. I'm not going to take anything else on voluntarily. Thank you very much. But Christ did not say that. He allowed the Spirit to drive him into a place with little water and food to purify him before his mission. If we follow voluntarily what God asks us in Lent, when the involuntary sacrifices and trials come, and they do, we will be more equipped to handle them. If I say no to every voluntary sacrifice, I'm not going to be ready when God asks something big of me in my mission in life, because you and I have a mission like Christ, something we have to do. We have to purify our hearts. Lent is about purification. What do I need to be purified of? I have to ask the Lord. I do not know. But if I give up sweets for Lent and I can't stand it and have to eat one, then something needs to be purified. Maybe I have low blood sugar. But it's going to tell me something. I actually gave up TV again this year for Lent. There go my graces. I don't watch much anyway, but I called DirecTV and just had them unplug it for 6 weeks. Radical, isn't it? Wow. But I've still got the internet. Jesus didn't pull out his cell phone, you know. We want to look at these temptations, but the Spirit is going to drive us into the desert. We say, why are you doing this, Lord? I just had sciatica. I'm pretty much over it. I told you this last week. I said, Lord, you need me. You can't do this to me. He said, oh, but Father Lawrence is here. I don't need you this week. I need you home, sick. That's what I heard him say. And I said, you don't understand. He says, well, actually, Gary, I had a form of sciatica myself. It was in my hands and my feet. That was my beginning of my journey of Lent. That was an involuntary thing. But if I give something to God for Lent or add something, I'm going to be more prepared for those things in the future. Jesus is tempted in three specific ways. They're very interesting. We won't be tempted to do these things exactly. That area of the wilderness got a lot of round stones that look like loaves of bread. This is very real if you go there. And Jesus is sitting there after this long, long time. That stone is looking pretty good. And old Satan comes up to him, says, I see what you're looking at. I can read your mind. If you're really the Son of God, turn that into bread. Nobody's going to see. You're alone here. You have the power if you are the Son of God. There's no harm in that. Your fast is over. You're done. He was done. Break your fast and remind yourself that you really are the Son of God, because I don't believe you. Well, what Satan does and what temptation does within us is we don't hear the whole thing. Satan here is telling half-truths. He doesn't tell everything. And when we're tempted, We get the immediate pleasure, but we don't hear the whole story. If Christ changed that loaf into bread, he takes the easy way out. That won't be the last time. That'll be the first. Once I give myself permission, that temptation is going to come again and again and again. And Christ did not come to serve himself. He came to serve others. He didn't. His power is not just to make his life easier. That's not why he went into the wilderness. That negates the whole point of going in the desert. But he had to be tempted. That's how we know if we learn something. It's very easy to fool ourselves into thinking we're patient until I get in the post office and there's 20 people in line. Or I get behind you on the road and you're going 20 miles an hour in a 30-mile zone. And I find out I'm not as patient as I thought I was. That's the temptation in the wilderness for you and me. That loaf of bread, that stone, we can't turn a stone into bread, although I can turn bread into a stone pretty easily. used to bake bread. What other half-truths is Jesus saying here? This is a wonderful one. The devil takes him to the holy city. Now, this is probably occurring in Jesus' mind. But it's very real. He says, he takes him to the parapet of the temple. It's like, it would be like the top of the bell tower here. But Jesus, there were a lot of hills where he was at. He could have thrown himself up at any of them and tested this. But no, the devil says, go to the top of the temple and do it. In other words, go where everyone can see you. And then there, in that theologically most significant place in all of Judaism, throw yourself off and let everyone see you come down on the cloud of angels. And then we'll believe in you if you are the Son of God. Do something showy. Be a show-off. Get some fame. Have everybody look at you. The Pharisees will be convinced. And Jesus said, no, that's not the way of God. And of course, Satan doesn't tell the other half that showy miracles are not going to convince. That's not enough. Christ came so we will have faith. You're going to not see the angels. You're not going to see these showy miracles because we have to have faith. Instead, God works in quiet ways. Lazarus was raised from the dead in a room with only a few people watching. We have to believe. So Christ, when we seek the way of fame, there's a downside to it. People seek fame in their lives and then they go spend their lives hiding from people. Christ wanted a different way. Satan was saying, choose the easy path, take the shortcut. It doesn't matter. But this is the whole point of Christ's coming. It did matter. He didn't. And even today, Christ doesn't take the shortcut. He doesn't part the heavens and come down, but if we look carefully, he's everywhere. I see him every day, but I've never seen him come on a cloud of angels, not till the last day. Notice, though, at the end of the passage, the angels come and minister to him after he's finished his temptations, but not in the wrong place. The third is even more interesting. Here's Satan, and Satan, remember, is created by God. He's a creature. Remember what the creed says. Through him, the Lord, all things were made, whether in heaven or on earth, St. Paul said. So, Satan is a created being. Jesus, the Son of God, created him. Now, he's coming to his own creator, his own father, and saying, if you worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Satan doesn't know who he's talking to. He's not sure who Jesus is. God's pulled a fast one on him. How many people in history have taken that offer? If you worship me and do things my way, just kill and steal and step on people at your job to get ahead, and you'll be the head of the company. Just gossip and slander and calumniate, and you'll get what you want. Follow my way. The gospel for me is for losers. I remember a very prominent American individual, I will not say his name, once was quoted as saying, Christianity is for losers and weaklings. Details after Mass, if you want to hear who said that. My blood boils when I think of this individual. And he's right. If you want to get ahead in business, you usually have to do those things. Most tyrants in this world got ahead this way. But what is Satan not saying in that temptation? Ah, but my friend, You're not the first one I've offered this to, and you won't be the last, because you have a time limit. You're going to die. Remember the first reading? And when you die, I'll give those gifts to somebody else, but you'll be mine forever. He doesn't say that. Worship me, and I've got you. I'll give you all my gifts, but this world is temporary. Christ, on the other hand, says, worship me, and I'll give you a cross. But I promise you, in heaven, you'll have it all. You'll be a son of God, but we have to wait. Satan says, have it now. There is no later. See, the temptations are very real for us. These aren't just Jesus' temptations. He's tempted because all of us are tempted. And everything in the gospel is about us. All of his sufferings, all of his temptations, everything is because Jesus is with us. You know, many of us here have gone through a terrible trial with the some members of our parish been hurt this week. I know I've been grieving. I've been to the hospital a number of times. Very difficult. But as I told Bill in the hospital, he's speaking, and I talked with him yesterday. I said, you know, Bill, you're taking the place of Christ right now. People that come and help you, and we pray for him. I said, he's got 1,000 prayers right now, so don't call me a liar. Make sure you're praying for him. I said, you are Christ, and we are with you. He took an innocent victim. See, he took it in the hands and the feet, see, like Christ did, so to speak. Christ is always any innocent victim in this world, whether it's in the Ukraine right now, or Syria, or our parishioners. It's always Christ, whether it's the temptations or anything else. Christ is always that innocent victim. And when it's us, we take the role of Christ. So these temptations are really Christ inviting us into the fullness of life, not only the good times, but also the temptations. The desert is part of God's will for us. But at the end of it, angels will minister to us. Satan wants us to have it now and never suffer, but life doesn't work that way. If we do that, we're going to get suffering afterward and no benefit. So we just ask God at the beginning of our Lenten journey that he will bless us and help us in this journey of life. We know that Jesus is with us always.